I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. The San Luis Obispo Symphony concert season is nearly over with its penultimate Classics in the Cohan concert this weekend, and the search continues for the symphony's new music director. The fourth conductor of five will be auditioning for the position. Maestro David Handel is with me, along with David Hamilton, who is the president-elect of the symphony's board and head of the search committee. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
David Hamilton, you're nearly finished with the auditions, and I can imagine that the excitement is growing as you near the end of this process. How is it going?
Things have been very smooth, but you know, it has been a long process. We are looking forward to finally getting through the fifth candidate and keeping that enthusiasm through the final selection process as well.
You started with a lot of candidates.
We did, over 130 candidates, yeah.
And you're down to five, and we're nearly done with that process. And David Handel, you are the next one. We get to see you conduct this weekend.
All right, the next victim. But I just have to say, David has been a wonderful host. The musicians have been fantastic, the board, and I'm really enjoying it.
You are from the U.S., but you're really kind of a citizen of the world. You've conducted in many different countries. Right now, you're with the Moscow City Symphony, Russian Philharmonic. Tell us what makes you want to come and lead the San Luis Obispo Symphony.
For starters, it's a superb orchestra in a beautiful place. Their response to the work we did in our last rehearsal just was very impressive. But beyond that, my wife and our son moved to the United States 4 years ago, and I'd like to be in a place where I live, work, and can be with my family more often.
David Hamilton, you've been introducing David Handel to a lot of people while he's been here. Tell me about your schedule.
The schedules consist mostly of meeting board members, orchestra members, anybody that's involved with the symphony, whether it's a performer, administrative, or board member, or music education, has an event where they're going to have an opportunity to meet Maestro Handel, to talk to Maestro Handel, ask him, discuss what his plans are, what he would like to see, and what we would like to see.
So you've been busy.
Very busy, yeah.
David Handel, you're a violinist, but you began conducting at an early age. What attracted you to conducting?
In the first place, the repertoire, which is so rich and diverse. I was very fortunate as a child. My parents took me to the Buffalo Philharmonic. I grew up in Buffalo, and I just became enamored with the art form. And so playing the violin was, of course, a passion, but I wanted to be in the orchestra with my hands in the nitty-gritty.
And you've had the opportunity to work with some of the most famous conductors of all. You're a protege of Kurt Mazur.
He was my primary mentor, yeah.
Tell me about working with him and what you learned from him.
Well, in this time space, I don't think I can tell you everything I learned from him, but what I can say is that he was just an extraordinarily generous mentor. He took me under his wing, took care of me, provided me with a scholarship, would play in the Gewandhaus Orchestra a little bit, different instruments. And interestingly, the program that we're going to perform is deeply rooted in that place, Leipzig, at the Gewandhaus, where Wagner had many premieres, where Mendelssohn was the music director, and where Brahms also had many premieres of his works.
And those are the three composers who are going to be on the concert
this
coming weekend, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I want to know what you enjoy most about conducting.
I think it's the dynamic between live human beings and ingenious repertoire, and the way that happens in time and in space and in sound.
A big portion of what the San Luis Obispo Symphony does is education. You have the youth orchestras, the children's concerts, music van, music in the schools programs, so much more. What is your vision for the symphony's education program?
It's played a big role in my life to date. In Bolivia, where I was the music director of the National Symphony for a long time, 14 years, we created any number of youth and outreach and community extension programs involving small children up to college-age professional musicians. And we brought in, from all over the world, guest artist teachers to work with our young musicians. And one of the projects was to create the space in the symphony hall where the students would work with symphony members and then participate in the orchestra itself. And my office was strategically located down the hall from those spaces so I could peek in and watch and know the young musicians up close and personal. So it's something that I'm passionate about and have lots and lots of firsthand experience in developing.
David Hamilton, talk about what the music director will do outside of conducting the orchestra.
We would like, you know, when we set the parameters for the search and the type of people we were looking for, you know, somebody who would not just be a conductor for the orchestra, but also would lead us with respect to the vision for the future of the orchestra, where we want to go, where we need to be. Obviously, an important component of that is involvement in the community. We don't necessarily expect our next music director to reside here, but one of the most important aspects is certainly to be involved with the community, to get to know our community members, what's important, what are the community's values with respect to the presentation of orchestral music. Obviously, we hope that our music director is also a big influence in our music education, because that is one of the most important components of what we do, and fundraising.
Yeah, some fundraising is a big part of it, isn't it?
It is, actually, yeah.
Because you can't do all of this without funding.
That is exactly right. Welcome to nonprofit.
David Handel, what do you think you might bring to the San Luis Obispo Symphony that others might not?
I know some of the other candidates and their friends and really valued colleagues, and we all have very different profiles. And in my particular case, I suspect one factor would be building an organization. The National Symphony of Bolivia, while during my tenure grew exponentially, the public one we started was very small, and I think it grew by 11, 12-fold during my tenure. So did the number of concerts, and so did its budget and outreach and educational programs. So I'd say a very strong vision about institution building and growth and its relevance in the community. And what I've heard of this orchestra and rehearsed with this orchestra, I'm so impressed that I can't imagine that it couldn't be a model for regional orchestras around the state and the United States.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Marisa Waddell, and my guests today are David Handel, who is a music director candidate for the San Luis Obispo Symphony, and David Hamilton, who is the president-elect of the Symphony Board and head of the search committee for a new music director. And we're nearly done with that search, and we have the fourth of five candidates who will be conducting the orchestra this weekend. Do you have any programs or events or things that you've done elsewhere that you think you'd like to bring and make work here?
Of course, I've studied the orchestra's programming over the years. I'd say the programming has been beautiful but often very conservative. And I don't say that in a critical way, but just as an observation. And I think that there are lots of more diverse and, let's say, provocative programs which could be brought to the table and would be of particular interest for the public. Off the top of my head, I just did a program in Monterrey, Mexico, which was called Science and Symphony, which had projections of the universe, live images taken from the space shuttle, combined with Mussorgsky's pictures at an exhibition, and that was quite an experience. And another work by Christopher Theophanides, an American composer, called The Legend of the Northern Lights, which had images of the Northern Lights along with a story told, directed at families, children, families, but it was just absolutely beautiful.
Well, tell me about your job as a programmer. How do you go about choosing what an audience will hear at a particular concert
right, or
during a season?
Even more to the point. So when I think about programming, it's a collaborative effort between musicians, members of the board, public. And so I started the programming process looking for ideas from everybody who's interested and invested in the organization. I also bring my own specific ideas to the table, things that I think the orchestra should be playing and will grow artistically by playing. The objective is to have an artistic, intellectual argument within each program and over the course of the season with an eye toward growth in the next season and the following season.
So this weekend, it's an all-German program. You mentioned a connection to the Leipzig Gewandhaus. We have Wagner, the overture to Die Meistersinger, Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, very popular work, and the Brahms Symphony No. 4, which is big and lush and long, and it feels, even though it's in a minor key, it feels to me like such a grand and optimistic work. Talk about the program.
Well, there are contrasts and similarities. Variety is the spice of life, but even within this solidly German program, there's a great deal of variety and perspectives. You know, we think of Wagner as being a revolutionary and anti-conservative. And really, in this work, it's very interesting. It's a very late work. And here, Wagner goes back in time to a more conservative musical language. the second work in the program. In great contrast to the Wagner, Mendelssohn is often thought of as a neoclassical, almost miniaturist, which is really not the truth. And the Violin Concerto is one of his last two large-scale orchestral works. And in this work, he revolutionizes the formal structure of a concerto. So there's no pause between movements. There's no repetition of the exposition in the first movement. It's kind of an extended orchestral poem which has the violin soloist as an integral part of the orchestra rather than something that's somehow separated from it. And in the Brahms Symphony, written about 20 years after Wagner's Meistersinger and about 40 years after the Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, here Brahms, who was often thought of as the conservative between Wagner and Brahms, quite the opposite, he revolutionizes in this in a very intimate way. That is to say, it's the most concise of his four symphonies and one of the most concise symphonic works he wrote. And in this symphony, he really gets to the essence of what his musical language is. And between those three contrasting composers, there's behind all of them, there's of course Bach.
Something that strikes me about the Brahms is that it's so full of melody that people will be leaving the concert hall singing, I think.
The whole program is just filled with some of the most memorable melodies, and I hope they do.
Tell me about the violin soloist Timothy Chui. Have you worked with him before?
I have not, but I'm looking forward to it, and I've heard him, and he's just a marvelous violinist.
He's a Canadian violinist?
Mm-hmm.
What is the dynamic between the conductor and the soloist?
There's a funny anecdote. Leonard Bernstein was conducting, I think it was Brahms' first concerto, and the soloist was to be Glenn Gould. And Gould's ideas were so radically different from Bernstein's that he came out on stage and made a sort of embarrassing disclaimer. And his spiel was basically, in a concerto, who's the boss, the soloist or the conductor? Well, there's really no simple answer to that. The reality is that it's a collaboration. It's very dynamic, and one hopes to accompany in so intimate a way that you're linked to the soloist, you're linked to the orchestra musicians, and everything works like a Swiss watch.
David Handel, is there anything that I haven't asked that you would want to share?
In the first rehearsal, it was funny. I said, it's nice to be here in San Luis. And I don't talk very much, so Wagner.
That is word for word exactly what he said. I don't talk much, so Wagner. Sorry to interrupt.
No. I just think people will love the performance of their orchestra. They should be very proud of it. And the Performing Arts Center is just amazing. For a city this size, it's unthinkable. So encourage you to come to this really beautiful program and enjoy your symphony.
And after the concert, we come up into the foyer, and you know, a lot of people stick around. They want to stick around and meet the maestro. They're more than welcome to. We really encourage it, actually.
Okay.
And there's actually champagne and chocolate to keep them there, too.
All right. Well, that's a good incentive. The concert is this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center on the Cal Poly campus. And it's an all-German concert program of Wagner, Mendelssohn, and Brahms. Maestro David Handel will be conducting the orchestra. If people want information, contact the symphony about this concert mm-hmm. or the youth symphonies or anything. How does one do that?
Slowsymphony.org.
Okay, that's easy enough.
Quick and easy.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell. It's been a pleasure having both of you, David Handel and David Hamilton.
Thank you, Marisa. It's always good to see you.